Test 5. This is the Cambridge First Certificate in English for Schools listening test. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. 1. You hear a news item about some teenage scientists.
Young Egyptian scientists have been in the news several times lately. A teenage boy hit the headlines last week with some amazing ideas for the next generation of space vehicles. And now another teenager has come up with a brainwave about recycling. A 16-year-old girl has found that an inexpensive chemical could be used to create $78 million worth of biofuel each year. Egypt's plastic consumption is estimated to total 1 million tons per year, so her proposal could transform the country's economy, allowing it to make money from recycled plastic. Egyptian schools are obviously doing something right when it comes to teaching boys and girls about science. Young Egyptian scientists have been in the news several times lately. A teenage boy hit the headlines last week with some amazing ideas for the next generation of space vehicles. And now another teenager has come up with a brainwave about recycling. A 16-year-old girl has found that an inexpensive chemical could be used to create $78 million worth of biofuel each year. Egypt's plastic consumption is estimated to total 1 million tons per year, so her proposal could transform the country's economy, allowing it to make money from recycled plastic. Egyptian schools are obviously doing something right when it comes to teaching boys and girls about science.
2. You hear an interviewer introducing a recorded interview with Darren Gray, a young writer.
Last week, Darren Gray was nominated for the New Writer of the Year Award. Darren is only 17, but his debut novel, The Franklin Years, received much critical acclaim. This is despite the fact that reviewers initially had no idea that its author was so young. In many ways, Darren is the typical teenage boy with a passion for rock music and skateboarding. But as soon as he opens his mouth, you realise he is unusually articulate for his years. I certainly didn't imagine he'd be such a joy to interview when I went to meet him this morning at the skate park where he goes before school every day. Last week, Darren Gray was nominated for the New Writer of the Year Award. Darren is only 17, but his debut novel, The Franklin Years, received much critical acclaim. This is despite the fact that reviewers initially had no idea that its author was so young. In many ways, Darren is the typical teenage boy with a passion for rock music and skateboarding. But as soon as he opens his mouth, you realise he is unusually articulate for his years. I certainly didn't imagine he'd be such a joy to interview when I went to meet him this morning at the skate park where he goes before school every day.
3. You hear a radio interview on a programme for teenagers with a biology teacher.
Sarah, you recently gave up a career as a comedian to go into teaching. Do you find your experience as a comedian helps in the classroom?
Well, I don't tell a lot of jokes to my students or anything like that, but I guess it's helped me have a sense of how I'm going down with an audience. I then modify my approach accordingly.
For example?
Well, I was doing lots of project work in the open air with classes, but I realised that they weren't as keen on that as me, so now they do more of their work online. They prefer that and so presumably learn more too.
Sarah, you recently gave up a career as a comedian to go into teaching. Do you find your experience as a comedian helps in the classroom?
Well, I don't tell a lot of jokes to my students or anything like that, but I guess it's helped me have a sense of how I'm going down with an audience. I then modify my approach accordingly.
For example?
Well, I was doing lots of project work in the open air with classes, but I realised that they weren't as keen on that as me, so now they do more of their work online. They prefer that and so presumably learn more too.
4. You hear two friends talking about a concert they have been to.
That was a brilliant concert, wasn't it? Maggette's such an amazing performer. She always really wows the audience.
Yes, and her voice is so powerful. You'd never expect someone so tiny to sing such deep notes.
I know, as well as being able to hit such high ones too. She is extraordinary.
That's right. And she uses her face and her body to put across the emotion in the songs she sings too. She does that so well, and that's what makes her really special, I think.
I know what you mean. Not many singers do that, do they? That was a brilliant concert, wasn't it? Maggette's such an amazing performer. She always really wows the audience.
Yes, and her voice is so powerful. You'd never expect someone so tiny to sing such deep notes.
I know, as well as being able to hit such high ones too. She is extraordinary.
That's right. And she uses her face and her body to put across the emotion in the songs she sings too. She does that so well, and that's what makes her really special, I think.
I know what you mean. Not many singers do that, do they?
5. You hear a mother talking to her son about a rugby match.
Did you get there in time for the match, James?
Well, I just missed one bus, but another one came along fairly quickly. I texted Ben to say I might not get there to meet him at 2:15 as we'd arranged. He texted back to say he was running late too. He'd left the tickets at home and had had to go back for them.
Oh dear. So what happened?
In the end, amazingly, we both got there by just after 2:15 in reasonable time for a 2:30 kickoff. But then we discovered the game was actually due to start at 3, so we had masses of time.
Did you get there in time for the match, James?
Well, I just missed one bus, but another one came along fairly quickly. I texted Ben to say I might not get there to meet him at 2:15 as we'd arranged. He texted back to say he was running late too. He'd left the tickets at home and had had to go back for them.
Oh dear. So what happened?
In the end, amazingly, we both got there by just after 2:15 in reasonable time for a 2:30 kickoff. But then we discovered the game was actually due to start at 3, so we had masses of time.
6. You hear a teacher talking to her class about some coursework.
Now, let me give you some information about the geography coursework you have to do over the next 2 weeks. You're going to be doing it in groups of 4, and each group will need to decide how you're going to split up the work between you. I'm going to give each group the names of 2 countries, and you have to look at them from a geographical point of view, analysing their relative advantages and disadvantages as far as location, physical features and natural resources are concerned. You'll need to go into some depth and then come to a conclusion about which of your countries is more favoured, geographically speaking. Now, let me give you some information about the geography coursework you have to do over the next 2 weeks. You're going to be doing it in groups of four, and each group will need to decide how you're going to split up the work between you. I'm going to give each group the names of two countries, and you have to look at them from a geographical point of view, analysing their relative advantages and disadvantages as far as location, physical features, and natural resources are concerned. You'll need to go into some depth and then come to a conclusion about which of your countries is more favoured, geographically speaking.
7. You hear two friends talking about their holidays.
How was your holiday, Meg?
Great, thanks. The food was amazing. I had the best ice cream I've ever tasted. And we were just 500 metres from the beach, so we went swimming 3 or 4 times a day.
Was the water warm?
Like a bath. Even when the sun had gone down, it was brilliant to be out there in the water in the moonlight.
Did you do any sightseeing?
Sure. We went somewhere or other every day. There was one old city where they've made films about a detective based there. I haven't seen any of them yet, but Mum's going to try and get them on DVD.
How was your holiday, Meg?
Great, thanks. The food was amazing. I had the best ice cream I've ever tasted. And we were just 500 metres from the beach, so we went swimming 3 or 4 times a day.
Was the water warm?
Like a bath. Even when the sun had gone down, it was brilliant to be out there in the water in the moonlight.
Did you do any sightseeing?
Sure. We went somewhere or other every day. There was one old city where they've made films about a detective based there. I haven't seen any of them yet, but Mum's going to try and get them on DVD.
8. You hear a news item about a wildlife campaign.
Today, the National Butterfly Campaign was launched, and it is hoped that listeners will support a number of events over the coming months. There is considerable concern that a number of species of butterfly have disappeared from this country. This is in large part due to the destruction of butterfly habitats, as more and more land is given over to housing development. In an attempt to counter this, the campaign's objective is to get as many people as possible to transform their gardens into butterfly-friendly zones. You can do this by making informed decisions about what to plant and by thinking carefully about your gardening habits. Today, the National Butterfly Campaign was launched, and it is hoped that listeners will support a number of events over the coming months. There is considerable concern that a number of species of butterfly have disappeared from this country. This is in large part due to the destruction of butterfly habitats, as more and more land is given over to housing development. In an attempt to counter this, the campaign's objective is to get as many people as possible to transform their gardens into butterfly-friendly zones. You can do this by making informed decisions about what to plant and by thinking carefully about your gardening habits.
That is the end of part 1. Now turn to part 2.